welcome to the Wearing History Podcast. This is episode 3, and today I'm with Gina from Beauty for Ashes and House of White, and she is absolutely amazing. She has incredible talent. If you've been following her on Instagram before Costume College 2018, you know she has been hand-beading this elaborate and gorgeous Worth dress, and she has an absolutely stunning blog, so... Hi, Gina. Welcome.
Hello, Lauren. Thank you so much.
Yay.
It's fun to be here.
Oh, it's exciting. So tell us what your website is so that people know where to find you first.
Okay. My blog. So do you want the address or just the name?
The address.
Because there's a million Beauty from Ashes.
Yeah. Tell us the address. Yeah.
Okay. The address is beauty4, and that's the number 4, beauty4ashes7.blogspot.com.
Okay. And your Instagram handle is?
The House of Light. And there's only one. Oh. That's the House of White, W-H-Y-T.
And everybody go follow her because she's incredible. So let's start with your blog. So your blog is Beauty for Ashes. How did you come up with that name?
The name came from, I had been going through some pretty rough stuff in my life. And I've got a very good relationship with the Lord and I love Jesus. And the verse, let's see, it's right here. Isaiah 61:3. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give you a crown of beauty for ashes. Sorry. I'll start again. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give you a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. And so just that verse and knowing that God can take your grossest, most horrible past and make beauty from it is where that came from. And also with costuming, because I'm on a budget, I get a lot of my stuff from thrift stores. And so the stuff that I use are cast off from other people, which could be considered ashes, and I take them and make them pretty.
That's absolutely wonderful. So. I absolutely love that idea of like making something that's discarded or not used as often into something brand new, just the,
right.
The way that we feel like God does for us.
Right, exactly.
So that's absolutely fantastic. And I think it's a really joyful message for people that are going through a really difficult period in their life, too.
Ah, yes.
So yes. Let's see. My phone closed, which is where I have all my notes. So the next thing is, so what started you in historical costuming?
Okay, long story short, when I was 5, and this is how I got started in antique and Victorian stuff in general. When I was 5, my great-grandma, Hazel Prudence Palmer Chrysler,
wow.
I know. Yeah, we called her Nani. She, you know how grannies are, you go to their house and they give you something.
Yeah.
Well, she would always have something that she bought at Kmart or the drugstore that was new, or she had antique things. And so my very first antiques were 9 Indian head pennies from the 1880s, and
cool.
I still have them. And so every time we would go over there, she would give me some sort of heirloom from her past. And
oh,
so,
wow.
Well, she would not give them to me, but she would say, here's something new, or here's these old things, and I always chose the antique things. And so from a very young age, I loved antiques. And what got me started in making the clothes and my excuse for making historical clothing was my dad was a member of SAS, Single Action Shooting Society.
Okay, yeah.
And it's a gun club. So you have 2 pistols, a rifle, and a shotgun. And you go through stages where you have to shoot them in certain orders.
So it's like a historical organization,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And the rules to play were you had to dress between the 1860s and 1900.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
So you could be a soiled dove or a madam or any number of things. And Mom and I chose to be Victorian ladies because, believe it or not, my dad does not like to scrapbook or go shopping for clothes.
Oh, so, how shocking.
I know. So I use this excuse, not an excuse, but a chance to do stuff with my dad.
Oh, that's so cool.
I love my daddy, so.
It's not often that we get dragged into costuming by, like, the men in our lives.
Right,
so
yes.
That's really, that's an
so my dad's the reason I do this.
How cool. All right. So, do you do the shooting stuff too, or did you decide I'm going to be the lady? And just,
I did. Yeah. I actually, so the dresses that you see me wearing on Instagram, I would have, at that time, actually worn to shoot in. So, when I had my 2 pistols, I had a leather belts. What are they called?
Holsters.
I had a holster belt.
Yeah.
So I would go out in my all my 5 to 7 layers of underwear, including corset.
Oh my goodness.
Plus the hat, plus the dresses, and I would do my shooting in that.
That's awesome.
It was
so
hot.
You were a regular Annie Oakley, but like with all the layers.
A fancy Annie Oakley.
That's really cool. So let's see. So you've done like so many different periods. You've done Victorian, all the way to 1930s now, because this is the Gina who the Gina dress was named for, because she found the pattern for me that it was based on.
Yes.
So I was very honored to have you be the inspiration for that pattern. So yeah, she's recently come into doing the vintage stuff too, but you know, I remember you from the online days when we did like Truly Victorian message board, mm-hmm. and like, what was the other?
Belle Alley.
Yeah, yes. Like all those old message boards and everything, which was really fun. So you've done a little bit of everything. Do you have a particular favorite era that you like to do?
Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Whatever era I'm working on at the time.
That's such a wonderful answer. Oh my goodness. So you put your whole heart into that. How do you get in that like mind space for that?
It will depend, like, if I'm watching a movie, Jane Eyre, or, almost said Gone with the Wind, but that's not it, The Age of Innocence, or Little Women. If I'm watching a show where the costumes are epic, I'll just kind of immerse myself in that, and then I will head to Pinterest and gorge myself on Pinterest.
Yeah, no, I think so many of us do that, too.
Yes.
But, I mean, I know we have a little list, and I'm going diverting a little bit, but Gina has an absolutely amazing antique and vintage collection, too.
Oh.
So, like, when you say you, like, get really into a specific era, I was thinking recently of you said, like, or I was watching your YouTube channel, and you had made the gymnastic costume, and you're saying about how, my son found these dumbbells for me, and I was just like, who else but Gina would be excited about dumbbells? That's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I love it, how you just, like, you get all engulfed with the air. Like,
yes.
You know, so many of us, we, like, kind of, like, flip from thing to thing, and I think you're so knowledgeable. You just dig in, like,
and
grab everything from, I don't know, it's really inspiring to me.
Well, I love antiques, and my mom and I are called the keeper of the old things, in the keepers of the old things in the family, because we take care of them. And yes, they are just things, but somebody in the past held them, they love them, or they were utilitarian, and they're special. They're part of our history, from where we came from.
Right.
You know, they're stuff, but they were stuff that... It was stuff that was needed.
Yeah, it's like
so
a human experience through
exactly.
time in like a tangible form.
Yes.
Kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so cool. All right, so can you remember the one specific dress or outfit that really made you think, okay, this is the hobby for me? Like, this is what I want to do.
You know, I'm trying to think of that. And you sent me that question, and I'm like, this is hard.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I just know that, well, before I got into SAS, and knew that I could make these things, I would see fashion plates or antique clothing and think, wouldn't that be fun to make and wear?
Yeah.
And I just, then I first started and I used I think it was the Butterick 1890s skirt and blouse pattern. And my first one had a zipper in it.
Because that's what the pattern probably called for.
It's called for that.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there's any specific one.
Yeah.
I just keep going from next one to the next one and hopefully improving.
Yeah.
As you know, practice makes quasi-perfect.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. The dress that Marilyn is wearing is my absolute, it's the I think it's 1888 seaside sailor dress with the anchors.
It's amazing. Maybe we can post a picture on my blog so
that
people
would be
can
fun.
See. Yeah, it's one of my favorite dresses you've ever made.
Thank you. It used to be I'm going to be buried in this dress. But that one was the one that I think if I hadn't been sold 100% on this, that would be the one.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because for me, also as a maker, I can't pinpoint a specific dress, like, okay, this is when I decided my passion is. It's kind of like a journey,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So, no, that makes a lot of sense to me. Okay, so we're at Costume College right now, and the gala has not happened yet. Like, the great unveiling of this masterpiece that Gina's been making is going to be tomorrow night. So you've been working on the Worth Cloud dress.
Yes.
And I've been following it on Instagram, and all your beautiful videos you've been doing of the close-ups, and it's just incredible. So can you tell me a little bit about, like, why you chose it, what was your process, and how long it took you to make? Like, we can go through these one by one. So, like, why did you pick the dress?
Okay. I believe it was 13 years ago, I had my husband and I and my two sons, who were 3 and 7 at the time, were living in a mountainous hamlet called Roby Creek, and my husband and I went downtown Boise, and we went to a bookstore, and he bought me the Kyoto Costume Museum book.
Yes.
And I was flipping through that, fabulous, aren't these neat? And I landed on that page. It's on the left-hand side is the whole dress, and then the right-hand side is a close-up of the clouds. And I think I sucked in all of the air out of Ada County. And for some reason, that just cemented something, an obsessive, compulsive craziness in me that I need to make it. I've got to make this dress.
Yeah.
And so we went home, and my boys were screaming. I think I wrote on Instagram that Cody and Colton were in their bedroom, and Cody was playing the video games, and Colton wanted to play, and they were fighting, and I had started drawing the clouds. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have it to scale because I'm really, really, really bad at math. And so my clouds were gigantic. And I stopped. I think I had made 5. And they were fighting. And I really started crying because it was almost a craziness about how much I wanted to make this dress.
Yeah.
Like, I could feel it in my chest. And it was all consuming. And I couldn't because they were too young.
Right. I definitely understand that feeling right now because my girl is not quite 2.
And sometimes you can and can't.
Yeah, you've got this artistic drive in you, but you can't always take advantage of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that.
In fact, there was a lady she's got, her name is Kate, and she lives in England, and I think it's, I'll come back to that when I think of it. I think it's Maison Devenue is the name of her. She was on Belle Alley. Anyway, I shared with her about it, and she was going to make the dress. And she said, I don't want to make it anymore. I'll send you the fabric that I bought for it.
Wow.
So that's how serious I was about making it.
Wow.
And I ended up not making it because I wanted to. There's a lot of stuff going on in that dress. And at the time, I didn't have the patience or the time or probably the skills to actually make it.
Okay.
And so I'd always, I had pictures on my computer saved under my pictures, I will make this someday before I die. Pinterest, I have a page or a board that says, I will make this someday. And so it's always been at the back of my mind. I have it bookmarked in that book. And so fast forward to last fall, I wasn't going to come to costume college, but events happened that brought me here. And so I thought, I don't go to conventions. I don't go to the SAS convention anymore. I live in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of costuming. There's no costuming there.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I want to make something big to wear to a big event because when is the next time that's going to happen?
Yeah.
And so I started planning it. I drew out my husband helped me get the scale down from the picture.
Okay.
Onto the dress.
Good.
So I think it was 7 inches for every millimeter or something. I don't know. It's math.
Yeah.
So I got it all drawn out and then started the process of finding fabric and then the process of finding the beads.
Okay. So it was an extended process.
It was very long.
And it started in fall, but it's a year long. So for people that don't know the dress, it's
1894.
1894, Charles Worth. And it's beautiful pale pink. Right?
The original is ivory.
Oh, the original's ivory.
Yes, but the picture, the photo that they took of it, makes it look pink.
I thought it was pink.
too.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, and then it has this amazing, cloud with the sun. You can explain
sun rays.
It better.
Yeah. Yes. It's a cluster of clouds that moves basically horizontal. And it's at I worked a long time on the dress, and I can't remember what side the sun's on. I think it's the left.
Yeah, we'll post a picture, too.
About shin height, and then it's got rays that shoot up towards the hip. Well, it just rays out around it. So it's 360 degrees around the center cluster of clouds.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Like, my friend Addie, who also loves art history, she would call it, a Jesus sky.
In
the old pictures, how, the rays are whoa! That's what it looks like dresses.
Exactly, a Jesus guy.
Yeah. So, and it's got a border that's all beaded along the bottom.
It's two clouds, a star. Two clouds, a star.
I'm sure you know this by heart because you've been sweet. So your beading process, you're like hand beading each individual bead.
Yes.
Right? You don't, you're not doing tambour. You've got each, like the insanity, like the sheer beauty, but insane.
No, it's
like,
insane. You're just, it's you're, insane.
Like, I'm just in awe because I would be like, all right, I'm going to do this dress. And I do like two clouds and I'd be like, this takes too long.
I'm done. Yeah.
Like, no, you're amazing because you actually followed through. So, like, but when you look at your dress, you've got, like, a really, is it a chiffon that you put on top of a satin? Like, how did you do the...
The rays?
Yes.
The rays are, I don't know, it's a cross between a chiffon and a very, very, very fine tulle.
Okay.
And I had to triple it.
Okay.
So...
Three layers. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Because, in fact, Marilyn helped me pick it up. We went to Joanne's, because Marilyn is actually, she's going to do it at some point in time.
Yay!
The plan was, after I drew the Worth gown, I thought, wouldn't it be awesome to reverse it and have at the opposite hip of, so at the right hip, have the same clouds, but kind of in a different formation, but then moon rays going down.
Oh.
And so when she gets it done, her dress is navy, the satin is navy, and then the beads for the clouds will be steel.
That's
color.
Going to be amazing. Yeah, so. Oh my goodness. And we're all just going to bask in your glory of the sky going, oh, because you'll both be there like bookends. It's going to be awesome.
That'll be fun.
So, and then your fabric, like what fabric did you choose for the dress?
Okay, so here's the thing with me. I'll tell you this story to tell you that story. My husband is a self-employed contractor. I am a stay-at-home mom and a housewife, mm-hmm. and I've got two teenage sons who like to eat the world. So forever, I haven't had the finances to buy expensive silk or whatever. And that's fine with me.
Yeah.
That's just what I've chosen for me. And so when I look at stuff, if I can get silk, the dresses that Marilyn and I are wearing today are silk. Mine's made out of curtains. Hers is made out of fabric from Joanne.
That's awesome.
But when I was looking for a dress for the cloud dress, I would have loved to have had silk satin. That was my first. And I had people go to the fabric district in LA. I had people in New York looking for fabric. I looked online.
Yeah.
And it just did not present itself because I'm really, really, really picky about my colors.
Okay, yeah.
I have OCD color issues.
Yeah.
In fact, my friend Kat, Kat Stelzer, Madam Neverlight, I think is her blog name. She even went to, I can't think of the name of the store, in Philly and got me some fabric and sent it to me. And at first I was like, yes, yes, yes. And then my brain said, no, it's not the right pink.
Oh, okay.
So I, which, thank you, Kat. I so appreciate it. But I had spent weeks and months trying to find this fabric, and then it was getting down to, you need to make this? This costume college is coming up.
Yeah.
So I'd gone to Joanne's, and in their Casa collection, they have a new color called Rose, I think it's Rosewater.
Uh-huh.
And it was it.
That was it?
That was the color.
It was just hiding at Joanne's the whole time.
I went, okay, fine. So it's a fabric that I've never worked with from their Casa collection. It's called a twill satin.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful, it's a nice weight. It holds the beads beautifully, and the beads are from bead stores. They're actually made in their Czechoslovakian glass or Czech glass.
Yeah.
So the dress is very heavy.
Yeah, and Czech glass has a really beautiful sheen to it if nobody's seen them in person before. It's
it
really
does.
Pretty. And
yeah.
Like a lot of antique buttons and things are made out of Czech glass.
They dip them several times and they're dipping.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. But so that color, it just was it. So I said, okay. That's what it's going to be.
That's really actually quite inspiring because I think that in the costuming community, people go, you have to use silk. And I've made polyester dresses, like the green plaid Blessel dress that probably is one of my most liked dress ever.
Is that with the orange stripes through it?
Yes.
Yes, I love it.
Like that one was all polyester and no one knew any different.
Right.
And following on Instagram with the dress this whole time, the way it had the sheen on your fabric, I was convinced it was 100% silk satin.
Yeah, no.
And I was like, this must be so expensive. And to know that it came from Joanne's, that's like inspiring to me. Like, this is achievable.
Oh,
like, people don't have to, you know, I don't have to buy $50 a yard silk satin.
And if you can, that is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's phenomenal. My boys do not like the taste of fabric. They like real food. And if I bought $35 a yard, I think I got 8 yards.
Yeah.
And so that's, they like food.
Yeah, there's times when we like
weird.
Silk, and there's times when we can't quite do silk. It doesn't mean we don't like one or the other, and we don't think anything bad of one or the other.
Right,
we,
exactly. You know, it's just where you are.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So that's really, that's actually really cool. And then you've got this chiffon.
Oh, heavens.
Uh-oh, the chiffon must have a story.
The chiffon, that was a fun thing. When we go up to visit my brother and his wife in Spokane, there's a, I think it's called So to So, or it's just a little tiny shop that I found by accident in Spokane Valley, and they have silks there because wow. all of the fabric stores in Boise that sold silk closed. So I have zero silk in Boise. So I have to go to Spokane. So I went there, and sure enough, they had an ivory silk chiffon because that's what I thought that was.
Oh, that's right. You were. Yeah, I remember this story on Instagram, too. Yes.
And then I had to dye it. Oh, that was fun.
Have you ever dyed silk before?
You know, I don't think I have.
So it was an adventure.
Yes. And the reason I don't think I have is because every time I finish a dress, how I create it, like, leaves my brain. So
yeah. Okay.
That might be a funny way of answering that question, but...
No, it makes sense. As an artist, you're like, and I'm now I've closed the door on this project, and now it's time for the new project to start.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I dyed it. That was an odyssey in and of itself, but...
Well, it looks absolutely stunning. And I mean, the gala hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen tomorrow night. And I'm probably just going to fall over from the beauty. It's such an amazing looking dress.
Please don't!
Okay, so besides creating your own historical costumes, you also have a program you do called Dressing the Historical Bride. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me why you started that and what's it about?
The Historical Bride, because okay, so that one, I have regular shows. They're called, I used to call them Victorian underwear shows.
Okay.
But people would look at me and snarl and look me up and down and say, like Victoria's Secret?
Oh,
and I'm like, yes, because the world needs to see this.
So they're expecting you to come out in angel wings.
Yes, no, and, not like, happening.
Completely covered up more than people are that walking down the street.
Exactly. So I had to come up with a different name called, I can't even remember what's it called. What is it called? From Pantaloons to Parasol.
Oh, that's cute.
And so it's an underwear show explaining, because your normal everyday person off the street does not know that all these layers went on underneath. They watch movies, and unless it's got a scene where the lady's getting dressed, they don't know that she's wearing drawers, chemise, garter belt, if she has that.
Yeah,
corsets,
that's true.
All the layers.
Because the historical, like, romances, if, you know... You're seeing the scenes, and they show underwear because they're taking clothes off.
Yes.
And they don't wear chemises underneath their corsets.
Right. Or they have a bra on.
Yes. And it's scandalous. Yes. So you're showing people how it's supposed to be done.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay. And that's really fun to do. But the bridal show came on that because there's a lady that I do programs for. She works with an assisted living facility. And I had done an underwear show for her, and she says, I want to hire you for next year, but you've already done the underwear show. What can you do for me now? And
okay.
I said, don't know. Let me get back to you. And so I just love Victorian bridal stuff, and I had a lot of antique stuff. So I've got an antique bridal
collection. Oh, I know.
Collection.
Oh, my gosh. I see these on Instagram and Facebook. She does these, like, panoramas, and I'm just like, gimme, 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 gimme. Like, so pretty.
They are. Oh, yeah. They did stuff so well back then.
Yeah.
But what I did was I kind of made a trousseau of what a Victorian bride would have worn.
That's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. And all of the lace matches, which I was very happy with because, again, I'm the matchy-matchy crazy person. So that is what that is, and it just dresses a Victorian bride from her bottommost layer to her veil. And then along with that we have, and I say we because my mom does this with me.
Yeah.
We have a traveling bridal museum. And so we take our bridal artifacts and we set them out for people to look at.
So does your mom also collect this stuff
too? She does.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or she collects them for me.
Wow.
She says, you need this, don't you? And I say, why, yes, yes, I do.
That's cute.
She's awesome.
Oh, that's really neat. I started costuming, doing stuff with my mom, too, so it's really neat
to
see that.
That is fun.
So, like, you do fashion shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's with the parasols in it. So how did you start doing the fashion shows in general?
The fashion shows in general came about when I would go to fabric stores, and the lovely ladies in the store would come up to me and say, hey, glad you're here. Can I help you find anything? And I would say, well, I'm needing such and such a fabric for a Victorian dress. And nine times out of ten, or nine and a half times out of ten, she would say, oh, like Gone with the Wind.
Oh, no.
And I would say, no. Because at the time, I did not like hoop skirts.
Oh.
Hoop was a four-letter word. So I did not like hoop skirts. And Gone with the Wind, as people know in the Victorian era, it went from 1837 to 1901. And how many times did the fashion change? And so Mom and I set about... Our goal is to, for people who want to know,
yeah,
showing them that there are different silhouettes. And then you go into the Edwardian era and all those years and how different the fashions were, and then the teens and then the 20s. And
wow.
And Marilyn, before she moved,
was part of
a group. I also have a group called We Wear History. Remember I asked you?
Yes.
I said, I kind of like this name. Can we use it?
Yes.
He graciously said yes. So we do fashion shows there, and then I do fashion shows through the House of White.
Okay, really cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on, I'm going to look at my next question. I want to have you come on and talk about the underwear again. I think that'd be really fascinating.
Oh, okay.
If you feel like doing it again.
Sure.
Because I think people really don't understand all that. Even
right.
Historical costumers, we get confused sometimes of what goes on in what sequence.
Right.
You know? So, okay. So, yeah, I say on her blog and Instagram, you can see how many different things she's done that are part of a woman's life in the past. Like today, you know, our clothes don't really necessarily change based on occasions. Like, you know, you used to say don't wear white to a wedding or don't wear black to a funeral, but even those rules are changing a little bit as time progresses. But in, like, the Victorian era, you had very specific dresses for what you'd wear, like a wedding gown, a mourning, mm-hmm. You know, and then the women were starting to branch out into activewear, so they'd have, like, gymnastic suits and hiking dresses, all these really cool things. So you follow a woman's life from, you know, wedding, maternity, mourning, and you've modeled all of these yourself, which I think is awesome.
Oh,
that
you've
just made, like, and I'm making a mourning or a maternity dress now. I'm like, well, that's cool. Go you. I mean, I never made one the whole time I was pregnant. Even
though
I should have. Yes.
That's funny.
So, do you have a favorite kind of gown that you like to make? Like,
I'm going to answer it again. The gown that I'm working on is my favorite.
Okay.
Because back then, there was a reason for every gown, and they made everything beautiful.
Yeah.
Even the underwear that they wore was pretty, even though nobody was going to see it. And so the gymnastics or the riding habit or, gosh, my fencing outfit or the wedding dress.
I love the fencing outfit.
Ew, thank you. It's fun. So everything that ladies wore, they were just elegant looking.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, now don't get me wrong, I love stretchy pants. And I love a t-shirt. In fact, when I'm at home, I run around in a sleeveless dress because I'm hot.
Yeah.
But
that's like my uniform.
Yeah, right? There yeah. you go. But back then, things were just so very pretty.
Yeah.
And so if I'm working on, when I was working on the writing habit, I loved my Pinterest page on writing habits blew up.
Yeah.
I love sailor dresses. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think... of all the categories of dresses, sailor dresses are my favorite.
So right now, both Gina and Marilyn are wearing sailor dresses, in case, because you can't see us, and they both look amazing. So yeah, sailor dresses, I approve of. I love sailor dresses, too.
They are fun.
Yeah. Oh, cool. All right. So you are the queen, to me, of doing elaborate costumes on a budget, and you talked about this briefly with the Worth dress. So what sort of things can you tell people that are listening about, things you can do to cut the costs on making a costume? Like, what things do you implement to keep your costs down?
Okay. Even before you go to the store, what I do is I research ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. I just, my poor husband, I just research a lot so that I know basically what the look is or what the style is. And then what I do is I love going to thrift stores.
Oh, me too.
And yard sales. So yeah. If you have in your mind what ladies wore back then, you can go to a yard sale and Joe Smith is selling Granny's estate stuff that he doesn't want for nickels on the dollar. And you say, oh my gosh, that's what would look perfect with this dress.
Yeah.
And so if you get in your mind what you want beforehand, when you go out to estate sales, or which you love.
I do.
I know you love estate
I
sales.
I love estate sales.
So go to that and just know what you have. And go into it not thinking, oh my gosh, I got to get this dress done next week.
Right.
What I do is a very long process.
Okay.
So I am wanting to do for the House of White a sports program. So I know that the end game is going to be all these sports outfits. So I have in mind that I, when I was doing the basketball uniform, I knew that I wanted a 1920s basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told my, I had been looking for one all over. And not, it's patience. You know, I want this for sometime down the road.
Okay.
Then when you find it, then you pull the trigger on making your basketball.
Okay, that makes sense. So you don't go, okay, next month I need to start this. It can
right.
be like, can it be like a year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just know in your mind a general feel of what you want to do and then be looking for it.
Yeah.
And then when you have your accessories or your fabric, then you can start putting the pressure on yourself.
So it's like stash building with intent.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes
Or stash
sense.
Building without. It's
yeah.
all good.
Yeah. No one will judge each other's stashes.
No.
Cool. So, yeah, I really like that you can give those tips. Like, so you're not limited necessarily by fiber content.
Nope.
As long as it gets the overall effect.
Yes.
And then, like, for little bits, do you use modern stuff and vintage stuff that to pull an outfit together?
I do, and let me tell you why. When I was in SAS, we would go to conventions, and there's a milliner who's very, very talented. Her name is Rita Smith, and she makes phenomenal hats. And they always looked like they were old, like they were antique. And we were talking, and she gave me the best little bit of advice, and she said, use vintage pieces on your new stuff.
Yeah, I do that too.
Yes,
yeah.
Because that gives it the look or the air of being from that era.
Yes. Yeah,
so
that's really
what
true.
I try and do.
Yeah, but you know, carefully use them.
Yes.
Don't like destroy them.
Right.
But, but you know, a lot of us who love antiques were used to careful handling anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. They're maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but I will. Okay.
This
so,
is going to be a good story. I can't tell.
I try not to tell people because there are textile conservators, I think
mm-hmm.
that's a word, out
yes.
there who just clench when you say that I cut this up to make this.
Right.
So the wedding dress trousseau, I found two petticoats online that had tons of lace on it, and they were matching. So
oh,
I
wow,
believe they
matching.
Came from the same place.
Yeah.
Obviously. So I used one. And actually, I've got it on here.
I want to see.
I used this one. I kept.
Oh.
That's the original. So I kept one as an original.
Okay.
And then I took the lace out of it to make the drawers, the chemise, another petticoat, the corset cover, and some trim on the corset.
That's really clever. So that everything, the whole underwear suite, if you want
yes,
to call it
yes,
like that,
yes.
has the matching lace. So
mm-hmm.
you can't see this right now, obviously, because we're voice only, but it's a really beautiful fine cotton, and then it's got these strips of lace that are about an inch and a half wide with beautiful bows set on them in a pattern. So the bows are going down the length. So it's like a stripe that's going up and down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then around the bottom, there's an entre-deux, and then another width of the fabric, and then a very wide lace at the bottom that's maybe 4 or 5 inches wide with the same bow pattern. So that's something you really don't find very often anymore, because finding the bows that would match the insertion and the edging, I mean, you can get it at heirloom sewing shops, but you probably would be spending $200 for
a
petticoat.
Lot.
Like,
yes.
Not a whole outfit, like one piece. So
and at that point, just buy an antique one.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely stunning. And it's an incredible condition. So, like, I know that some people don't approve of wearing antiques. I also wear my antique petticoats if they're in good shape. So, no, this is really beautiful. So that's really smart, because finding an entire trousseau is almost impossible
yes.
in existing stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? And then, like we said, like, the heirloom lace is amazing, but when you're talking, like, $12 a yard
yes.
for the wide stuff,
it is, 10 yards.
Yes.
That's a lot for a petticoat.
It adds up really quickly.
Yes.
No, that's really clever. Cool. So what time? We're still doing good on time. All right. So, okay, so something else I really admire is that you go the extra length for accessories. Like, you really pull the whole look together. Like, right now, she has this wonderful hat with these two hat pins, a beautiful purse that's embroidered, right? And you've got these perfect pearl drop earrings that look absolutely timeless. Like, you know, sometimes, and the hair. You get the hair right.
Ah.
You get the whole look from head to toe correct. So, Yeah, she makes these accessories when she makes them herself in absolutely incredible ways. Like, she's the one that's been going around for Costume College on how to make royal orders. Like, I just keep seeing your blog posts being circulated around the costuming community. And I remember I took your class on how to make real wireframed hats.
Oh, right.
Which seems like it's, like, a really forgotten technique. So she innovates these things that haven't been done in 80 or 100 or more years. And the bathing shoes. She even made bathing shoes. It's absolutely stunning. So how do you start a creative process for creating a particular look that you know, there's no way I'm going to be able to buy this in a store. I need to recreate it. So what do you do to think about how to make it?
Okay. Again, give yourself grace to not have to, I need this done by this date.
Okay.
So I do a lot of research looking through books or old photographs of what ladies wore for accessories. And if you don't have it, Sears and Roebuck have a reprint of their old catalogs.
Okay.
And then there's another one. I can't think of it. It's gigantic. It's from the 1890s.
Montgomery Ward?
It is. Yes. Thank you. That's it. And so going through there or going through actual pictures of what ladies wore and studying what they wore, because even though they had these things available, lady might not have worn them.
Okay.
Or if she was wealthy or if she was a farm lady, she might not have worn it. So research your character that you're wanting to do or the persona that you are wanting to create and then go from there. Okay. So I love antique stores. I love eBay. I love Etsy. And so try and find things from those eras in antique if you can. Or if not, try and make them. So I shop a lot on AliExpress. Hobby Lobby is a great place, and they do a lot of reproductions. They've got a line, I think it's Once Upon a Time or something, and they recreate.
AliExpress, you said? So
or Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby,
I'm sorry. Any of those places. And so they make recreations of, or similar things to what could have been made and worn back then.
So you just get creative with where you look online. So I think a lot of us as costumers, we end up looking at a photo and we're so focused on creating the dress and figuring out where all the details are. Okay, what trims do I need? How do I need to put together? And then we usually run out of time. Like, I don't know anyone that is like done with their gala dress, all three of us in this room right now, except, you know, Gina, but that is good, but the rest of us are all scrambling. So, you know, we don't necessarily think ahead of, okay, I need to really complete this look with the hat and with the jewelry and with the whatever else. But so you look at the pictures and you analyze what else is going on in the photo first. So again, it comes back to primary resource, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the research. So that's really good advice, because I think that, like, sometimes we can be really short-sighted, or we can be really excited by the next project and we jump out of the current one before we're done.
I am very guilty of that.
Oh, I think we all are, right? Yes. It's just part of our
I am done
our
with
journey
you.
As costumers. Yeah, okay, so that's really cool. So about the wire, I'm obsessed with these wire hats.
Oh.
So how did you figure out how to make a wire hat? Like, did you look at an old book?
No, I tried to look at online. Okay, so another book that my husband bought for me, and I can't remember which one it was. It might be the Kyoto Museum. It had a bustle-era bonnet that was made out of wire. And I looked at that, and on the way home, I said, I'm going to make that.
Oh, wait, I think I better stop here for just one second.
Okay.
People that don't know what a wire hat is, you build the frame out of wire, and then you cover the wire frame with fabric netting, some sort of textile, mostly, right?
Yes.
So it's really lightweight. Like, we're used to hats that are made out of straw or made out of felt, but these are really, like, these light confections of fabric. So, yeah, figuring out, like, people don't do that anymore, right? Like, even big high-end milliners, you rarely ever see, like, a wire-framed hat.
Right.
So, okay, now I'm sorry.
I had to interject
that so people knew what we were talking about.
Oh, got it.
So continue.
So I knew I had all of the materials at home to put on it, but and it's so funny because when I glom onto something, my brain literally works overtime, and that is all I think about.
Okay.
Besides feeding my family.
So you lay there at
night. I throw food at my family, and I create.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes, I lay there at night trying to figure out how to do this or that. And so I went home, and my first attempt was pretty sad. But I got down on the floor, and I had some millinery wire from making my buckram hats.
Okay.
And I got my pins, and I got on the floor, and I made the spokes like you would find on a spider web.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, well, we should go from there. Oh, and I had some, I had a Bustle Era morning bonnet, and I looked inside, and I saw that they did the spider web spokes.
Okay.
And then that is what you build off of.
Okay.
And then, so I made that first one, and then I made a bonnet. I made several. I can't remember what order they were in. One of the 1860s bonnet I made up a buckram frame of the design, and then I made the wire part to go over it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Kind of.
I'm trying to figure out how to explain it in my brain.
So they're combined into one?
I used the buckram frame as a frame to make the wire.
Okay, yes.
And then I took the wire frame off.
So, like, the form that you formed the wire around
exactly.
Was, the, like, how people use a wooden hat block to do felt.
Yes.
You were using a buckram hat to form wire.
Exactly,
okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that's really fascinating. So, do you have a preference when you make hats? Like, wire versus buckram versus any?
It doesn't matter. They all make my hands sore.
That's the perfect answer. Hats are hard.
They are
That's
very hard.
Yes. But they're not that hard. You get used to it. It's just time consuming.
Yeah.
Right?
The worst one I've ever made was I did a drawn bonnet.
Yeah. Oh.
Using Lynn McMaster's fabulous pattern. But again, my hands, they just hurt all
yeah.
the time. So
but,
that
man,
was
they
that, that was the worst one on my hands.
I think you're like me though. Hats, like, are you obsessed with hats?
I love hats.
I'm
yes.
obsessed with hats.
They're fabulous.
Okay, so I think we've kind of already touched on a couple of these. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorites that you've made? Out of all the costumes you've made, do you have any favorites?
The 1880s Seaside Bustle dress is my favorite. And actually, I haven't tried it on, but I'm sure when I try it on, it will be my favorite, is the worst dress.
Oh,
the
cod
dress. The natural form tea gown that I had made for the maternity dress,
yes.
and then I changed it back into just a tea gown.
Yeah.
I love that one, just because it's beautiful and sleek and just very sharp looking.
Yeah.
So
I love that you did that, too, like, because that's something a woman would have done back then.
Right.
They would have
exactly.
had a dress for maternity and then converted it to whatever they could,
exactly.
could wear. So that's really cool that you do that.
Oh, and my other favorite one is... Last year, my husband and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh, yes.
And so I reproduced a 1914 wedding gown and made it my anniversary dress.
And it was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
You nailed that period.
Thank you.
And that's a period a lot of people don't do. So it's really nice to see, like, you did it so beautifully.
Thank you.
That was based off of images from Antique Dress, was
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my giddy aunt, if I had money. I would buy all of his dresses.
And he has amazing things.
He does.
That's
yeah.
antiquedress.com,
yeah.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So even just going to look for inspiration, you guys can go.
Yes.
That. All right, so the last question. Do you have any tips for people just starting out in their costuming journey? Like, what would you say to those people who might be, like, a little bit nervous or not sure where to go?
I would start out... Looking at, well, Pinterest is a great place, a jumping off point.
Yeah.
Going to different museums online or different books and just kind of acquainting yourself with the era and the style and maybe falling in love. Like when you knew me from Belle Alley, I was the 90s girl.
Yes.
Because I only made 90s dresses.
Yes. And I 1890s.
Was, yes, 1890s.
Not
oh,
1990s.
Dear Lord, no. So I loved 1890s dresses.
Yeah.
And so I really became acquainted with that. And then go find your patterns and make mock-ups. Absolutely, for sure. I still make mock-ups.
Yeah.
And when I don't, I regret it.
Yeah.
Be patient with yourself. Give yourself a lot of grace.
Yeah.
Because we're going to make mistakes. Like I said, my very first shooting dresses had zippers in the back.
Yeah.
And it's okay that they had zippers in the back because I learned that they didn't have zippers. And so then I moved on to hooks and eyes.
Yes.
And so even back then, those ladies... Oh, I'm talking about the inside and the construction. I love looking at the inside of dresses because a lot of the ones that I have are horrible.
Yes.
They look like rat's nests.
We're so much harder on ourselves than people were in the past. I noticed
yes.
in some of my antiques, too, there's weird seams. Things are
oh
pieced
word.
Funny. Like,
yes.
you think something's going to be tacked down, like, beautifully, and it's like these big old whip stitches. Like...
or nothing
yes.
is finished on the inside.
Yes. yeah.
So just move at your own pace.
Yeah.
And know that with practice... you'll get better and better and better and better. And don't get discouraged, because we are our worst critics.
Yes.
I am my own worst critic. I'll say something. Ooh! Oh, another thing that my friend once told me. So I had, I was having a bridal party in my garden. I used to have a Victorian cottage garden. And I was running around. She came over to set up, and I was running myself ragged, going here and there, trying to fix stuff. And she stopped me. She says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I want my garden to be perfect for your party." And she grabbed me by the hand and she said, "No one sees your vision.
Oh,
you are the only one that sees what you want to have happen." And so when I look at what you have on right now, it's fantastic.
Oh my goodness.
And in your brain, you're going, "Oh, but there's this and there's this." And
the, yeah. I'm wearing the samples from my LC blouse, 1910s blouse, and the new skirt, I don't remember what I called it. The one with the big old pockets.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I need to make.
Thank you. But yeah, I totally know. I put it on this morning. I'm like, "Oh, it doesn't fit here. It's too big." And I'm not wearing a corset right now, so I'm being lazy. And are people going to notice? Are people going to judge me? And it's because people don't know what we think we want ourselves to
right.
look like, or what
exactly.
we want our dresses to look like. That's probably the best thing that I've heard in a long time, because I am still not anywhere near close to done on my gala dress. Mm-hmm. But remembering what you said,
yeah, that nobody sees it.
Nobody sees your vision. That gives myself a lot more.
Because they're going to look at it and be blown away. And you just keep those. And I'm guilty of doing that. People say, "Oh, that's lovely. Oh, but look here."
Yeah.
So I need to take my own friend's advice. But be gentle with yourself. Give yourself grace. And just use every outfit that you make as a learning process.
And I think... Yeah, we try to be so perfect.
Exactly.
And we're not perfect as humans.
Yes, yeah. We're not perfect as humans. And the ladies we are emulating,
yeah.
We're not perfect.
Oh, that's really good advice. Yeah, they were human too.
Yes.
We romanticize them so much because we see these perfect pictures,
yes,
and perfect paintings. Wow.
And they were just, they would have melted. I am melting right now. I am so hot. Well, right now I'm good because I'm in an air-conditioned room.
Yeah.
But back then, they were dirty.
Yeah.
They were out working in the garden, so their dresses were dirty, they were sweaty, their hair was ratty.
Yeah.
So...
Frizz was normal?
Right? Yes, frizz was... I've got frizz.
I've got some stuff hanging down in my hair right now.
So...
Well, Gina, yeah, thank you so much for coming and talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
I feel so blessed to have spent this time with
you,
and I know that a lot of people will really appreciate the words that you've said.
Thank you.
All right, so go check out Gina online at House of White or Beauty for Ashes, and... All right, thanks. Bye-bye.